Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things. It don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. An optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord. And welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. We're so glad you could join us this evening. Tonight we will be discussing, are we living in the last days? And after we present you with a certain amount of biblical facts and recapping some of this year's events, then we'll present the question to you. And that'll be up to you to make the decision. Are we living in the last days? I know a lot of us are kind of in a quandary about this 2012, what will happen, what should happen according to the Mayan calendar, which we know that's pagan. And we here at Kingdom of God Ministries, we do not get into the pagan worship of what the Mayans said, because my perspective is if they were as knowledgeable of as what they say they were in predicting the future, look like they could have predicted their own demise. But, however, that's my opinion. Tonight we're going to open up with prayer, and I have a lot of scriptures we will be covering about the end times, and hopefully at the end of the broadcast, this will shed some light on it. If you have some questions about it, we can go forth in that way. But, Father God, right now we just want to thank you. We thank you for being God, of the Lord of all. Lord, we thank you that you have bestowed upon us so many blessings. Like David said, if we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you enough. Despite what we may be going through in our own personal lives, we still can give you praise. We still can magnify your holy name, because where we may not have as much as we think we have, we always have more than someone else to be thankful for. So, Lord, right now we praise your name. We thank you for your bountiful blessings in our lives. We thank you for health, strength, protection, guidance. Lord God, and we ask that as this word go forth tonight, that it will fall on good ground. We ask that you soften the heart to receive your word. Take out that stony heart and put in a heart of flesh, Lord. Lord God, we ask that you take the hindrances off the mind, anything that is trying to bring forth confusion and division in the mind. We come against that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we ask that you touch your people. Let this message go out to the four corners of the earth and let it touch, Lord. Let it deliver. Let it set free. Lord, you came to set the captives free, according to Luke 4:17-19. This is why you came. This is why you have raised up prophets and teachers to proclaim the good news of your soon to return. And Lord God, you have given us this commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And Lord, this is what we will do tonight. We will come forth in the anointing. We will come forth in the power and in the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, we are, like I said, we will be discussing, are we living in the last days? Now, I wanted to go to the scriptures. First, I have a few scriptures I will be referring to, and if you feel led, you can follow along with me in your Bibles, or you can just write them down and revisit this at a later time. But we know it has been so much happening in 2011, some good, some not so good. And what I want to do is recap on some of the events, even in our own personal lives. I know some of us may have lost some loved ones this past year, or we may have associations of someone who have lost loved ones, or maybe acquaintances of someone who has lost people dear to them, or just friends or acquaintances. What am I saying? People are still dying. People are leaving here. Now that the Christmas rush is over, and that's another pagan holiday that we don't like to really bring a lot of light to, because we found out that in our study that after you do all your spending and all you buy all the stuff you want, and we try to, you know, say it's about Jesus, but we'll put him on the back shelf somewhere, and then after we spent and exhausted all our money, then maybe we can find him. I'll say, oh, Lord, yeah, it was your birthday, but did I really acknowledge you? Or was I consumed with my own greed and my own lust? I got to go out and get the $200 pair of shoes. And I'm not bringing nobody under condemnation, but I want you to think, because a lot of times we fall as Christians and people who are just naive, we fall into a lot of propaganda, and we think we're doing it for God, but we have to really search our hearts. And that's why we're bringing this out today. Even with the New Year's Eve services, some of us, we will pack the churches out tomorrow night. But what will you do the rest of that year? Is it just a religious experience, or will it be a relationship experience? So after we present these scriptures and all the different things we want to bring out, I want you to search your own heart, because I do it. I have to search myself. You need to search yourself. and to see if am I serving God because of religious, or like a religious duty, or am I serving him because of a relationship? Because, see, I'm going to tell you, if it's a relationship, it's not going to just end after December 31st. And then January 1st, you go back to your old ways. If it's really a relationship, it's going to be 365 days of the year, 24/7. You don't just put God on a shelf and pull him off when you feel it's convenient or when you want a, quote, blessing. Because he will be with you forever when it's a relationship. Okay, I want to come out of 2 Timothy 3:1. And this is for those of you that are familiar with Timothy, you know Paul, this was Paul speaking to Timothy, but Timothy wrote this, and he was saying 2 Timothy 3:1-5, it says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, we spoke on that a few weeks ago about covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinence, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Now, like I said, they have a form of godliness. They look holy. They act holy. But they don't really worship him with their heart. They're just going, they're play actors. And I hate to say it, but the church have a lot of play actors. We should get an Academy Award the way we can act. We can act one way in church, and then when we get out of church, we act another way. Like I said, it should be a 365-day-a-year lifestyle. It's not something you just pick up and put on. This should be your lifestyle, to live a life pleasing to God. And when I went to the Strong Concordance, it says last out of the Strong, is 2078, final place of time, end, last, occasion, set or proper time, convenient, mean due season, and this is where we are. We are in the seasons of time. Just like you could in the natural, you can see the seasons when they change. You can see when it's summer. You can see the spring when the trees are budding. You know it's spring. You know spring is getting ready to come. When the summer, you see the flowers bloom and all the beautiful roses and bouquets. In the fall, you see the leaves falling from the trees. And in the winter, it's dead. It's snow covered the ground. For a form of purification, because if we don't have winter, we know that it won't kill off a lot of the gnats and bugs and things like that. So winter is a form of purification in itself. But in the natural, when you see these things, you know these seasons are upon us. This is the same way it is in the Bible. When we see certain events coming, we know that we're in the season for Christ's return. Okay, and then when I looked over here in 2 Timothy 4:1-4, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. This is what he admonished for the preachers and the prophets and the teachers to do. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And today, the pastor and the teachers, we have a great mandate because we have to preach, because according to the seasons, we need to let the people know, hey, we're in this particular season. Get your house in order. Are you ready? Do you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior so you can be ready to for him to receive you when he returns? That's why he said we have to preach, be instant in season and out of season. I gave to you about the season. Our job is a 24-hour thing. We should not ever neglect to preach the gospel. And that is the call that God has called us to do. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And when I talk about doctrine, I'm not talking about denomination. I'm talking about the doctrine, the word of God. That is what I'm referring to. I am not concerned with your religious affiliation. Let's get this religious out of the way. I'm not concerned if you're a Baptist, if you're a Methodist, Pentecost. I'm not concerned with that. I'm concerned with, do you have a relationship? Because a denomination is not going to get you anywhere, but a relationship will. So let's dispel all this denomination. When I say doctrine, I'm talking about the word of God. That's the doctrine. Okay, and then over in 2 Peter 3:1, he says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. He says that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. For by the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved until fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness? So this is in 2 Peter, but I know you don't hear this a lot. I know it's not a popular teaching today in today's church. I know everybody, you know, like I said earlier, in the last days they're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. This is not a popular teaching. People don't want to hear this kind of stuff. They just want a feel-good message. Make me feel good. It's about me, myself, and I. I don't care if the whole world go to hell, just so I get my dollar or just so I get my house. But, saints, there are people perishing every day. And we talk about fear. This is not the type of fear that I want you to go and hide your head under a rock. But it's the type of fear that I want you to realize that I am nothing without God. If I should die tonight, where would my soul be? Will I be in heaven or will I be in hell? I don't care if you don't like it. I don't care if it's not popular. But I'm doing what the mandate Timothy told us, to be instant in season. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Like my mom always said, if the shoe fit, wear it. If this is knocking on your door and you feeling conviction, it's not because of me, it's the Holy Spirit. Open your heart. So, Lord, I repent. Okay, in Jude 1:16-17, he says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaking great swelling words. have a man's person in admiration because of their vanish. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see throughout the Bible they are giving you warnings that when you're walking into all this, all these things that is abomination to God, they're teachers that's not teaching the truth, they leading people astray. He said time, actually it means to run away from them. But a lot of times because we have blinders on and we don't understand, we'll sit right up under there and we are taking a gamble with our soul. That's why it's important to read the Word of God. And what Kingdom of God Ministries, what we do, we try to bring you the unadulterated word. No, it's not popular. We may not get a lot of hits on the internet, but we will tell you the truth. And I will tell you with, from the bottom of my heart what thus says the Lord. Okay, I wanted to recap now. Oh, and also I wanted to let you know that if you need to call in, we reserve a few minutes after the, you know, after the pastor come and bring the message, we'll reserve some minutes open for you to call in with prayer requests, whatever you need, if you want salvation. We're here for you. We do not mind praying with you. We have time. So if you feel the presence of the Lord on you and you need to repent and you want to make it right with God, because truthfully, we don't know what 2012 will bring. And this is not a scare tactic. This is just reality. So I want to recap over some of the events. And I tell you, I pulled up some of this stuff that happened in 2012, and I had to just stop. 2011. I had to stop because there's so much stuff going on. I said, Lord, if people can't see that you are soon to return, either they got blinders on their eyes or they just don't want to see it. Remember what I read about the scoffers. Where is his return? We've been told it since our forefathers. They did that same thing with Noah when the flood came. He built that flood, that ark, for 120 years, and they laughed and they mocked him. Same thing they're doing today. Laugh, they mock you. They say you're a fool. You're ignorant, you don't know what you're talking about. But there will come a day, and you will give an account for every idle word. Okay, we were saying, it says, we have so many catastrophic events. I'm just going to touch on a few of them, and this will just reflect your mind back. And it only seemed it was less than a year ago. Now we coming to the climax of this year, so we just have to pray. But anyway, over Turkey had a major earthquake, and then you know that great earthquake that was in March 11, 2011, killed tens of thousands of people with the tsunami. That was the largest, fourth largest earthquake on record. Actually, it measured a 9.0, okay? And they was even saying that some of the earth axis was shifted because of that earthquake, which created that great tsunami. Okay, then we had Turkey had an earthquake. Actually, they had that caught on video. 8 dead as torrential rains ravage Italy. America hero, he was denied aid for helping tornado victims. Massive blaze, 4 dead, dozens homeless. A suicide epidemic hit bankrupt farmers in India. Devastated by one of the worst droughts in decades, farming does not get much tougher than in India, where thousands left with poor harvests and big debts have been driven to their own lives. Some of them was even taking their lives. Following the East Coast earthquake and the appearance of Hurricane Irene, the United States is being subject to yet more catastrophic conditions as storms continue to encroach across the country. Then we had stunning images of lava rivers as Hawaii volcano erupts. Fresh lava rivers are flowing down the southern slopes of Hawaii, most active volcano after a new eruption was registered on Wednesday. This was this year that passed. Australia had flooding following a long drought. Heavy rains in December 2010 and January 2011 caused devastating floods in the state of Queensland, destroying crops and killing 35. Brazil had landslides. At areas surrounding Rio de Janeiro, landslides triggered by rainfall killed 850 in January. Deforestation may have made soil in the region more prone to erosion. Then we had New Zealand, another earthquake. With an epicenter 6 miles from downtown, the Christchurch quake in February took 181 lives and caused $12 billion in damages, despite having a magnitude of just 6.3. Then we had the central U.S. tornadoes. April set a new record with 748 twisters in a single month. The season's tornadoes killed 548 and did more than $24 billion worth of damage. East Africa dropped, a continuing drop that the United Nations described as the worst in 60 years, has left 10 million hungry. East Coast Hurricane Irene charged up the U.S. coast in August, leaving 44 dead, 7 million without power, and thousands of roads impassable for days. Estimated damage, $7 billion. China drought. The Southwest is suffering under a long dry spell that threatens the clean water supply for 14 million people. And these are just some things that's hitting home. Police, those were like natural disasters, but these are disasters when people are murdering each other. And this was just here in Georgia. Police believe Georgia girl killed in vacant apartment. You see, when I was 7 years old, she was only seven, brutally beat, brutally murdered. And then people is wondering what is causing people to act like this. Seven killed in apparent murder-suicide on Christmas. Come on now. Police say the gunman in the murder-suicide that left seven dead was wearing a Santa suit. Here's another one. Woman burned in elevator in methodical fashion. Another one. Police shoot and kill mother for stabbing her child. And these are just some of the things. North Korean leader Kim Jong-il dies of a heart attack. Economic Armageddon or the next bull market. Leading economists are predicting the collapse of world markets due to popping of variable interconnected bubbles in the economy that have occurred in recent years and are about to occur in the immediate future. You see, these are things that's going on, and like I said, I couldn't even bring you everything that was going on. This is just a sample of what happened in 2011. And so this was a survey, one of our members sent this. It says, for many, losing my religion isn't just a song. He said, their attitude, this is the attitude, more Americans tailoring religion to fit their needs. What did I just say? It ain't even about God anymore. It's about if it's convenient for me, or if it's not fashionable to serve God, then it's got to tailor to what I want and how I perceive him. He said the real dirty little secret of religiosity in America is that there are so many people from whom spiritual interest thinking about ultimate questions is minimal. And this is what a professor said of one of those colleges. He said, as Christmas Day glides by, all guilt, no substance for many, clergy are becoming concerned because the people's heart is not there. I mean,
amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for listening to Kingdom of God Ministries. We have some difficulty or some problems with the show on today. We were trying to air Who Is Baphomet, but for one reason or another, another program has come in its place. So we're going to try to deal with that and get the desired program up to you a little bit later. So just be patient with us. We'll try to get this up for you in just a few moments. So you can just listen to this until we get the other program up. Thank you.
The preacher said, don't despair. The disease of death is not.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15.
Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which hath called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God.
It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. An optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord. And welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. We're so glad you could join us this evening. Tonight we will be discussing, are we living in the last days? And after we present you with a certain amount of biblical facts and recapping some of this year's events, then we'll present the question to you. And that'll be up to you to make the decision. Are we living in the last days? I know a lot of us are kind of in a quandary about this 2012, what will happen, what should happen according to the Mayan calendar, which we know that's pagan. And we here at Kingdom of God Ministries, we do not get into the pagan worship of what the Mayans said, because my perspective is, if they were as knowledgeable as what they say they were in predicting the future, look like they could have predicted their own demise. But, however, that's my opinion. Tonight we're going to open up with prayer, and I have a lot of scriptures we will be covering about the end times, and hopefully at the end of the broadcast, this will shed some light on it. If you have some questions about it, we can go forth in that way. But, Father God, right now we just want to thank you. We thank you for being God, of the Lord of all. Lord, we thank you that you have bestowed upon us so many blessings. Like David said, if we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you enough. Despite what we may be going through in our own personal lives, we still can give you praise. We still can magnify your holy name, because where we may not have as much as we think we have, we always have more than someone else to be thankful for. So, Lord, right now we praise your name. We thank you for your bountiful blessings in our lives. We thank you for health, strength, protection, guidance. Lord God, and we ask that as this word go forth tonight, that it will fall on good ground. We ask that you soften the heart to receive your word. Take out that stony heart and put in a heart of flesh, Lord. Lord God, we ask that you take the hindrances off the mind, anything that is trying to bring forth confusion and division in the mind. We come against that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord God, we ask that you touch your people. Let this message go out to the four corners of the earth. And let it touch, Lord. Let it deliver. Let it set free. Lord, you came to set the captives free, according to Luke 4:17 through 19. This is why you came. This is why you have raised up prophets and teachers to proclaim the good news of your soon to return. And, Lord God, you have given us this commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And, Lord, this is what we will do tonight. We will come forth in the anointing. We will come forth in the power and in the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, we are, like I said, we will be discussing, are we living in the last days? Now, I wanted to go to the scriptures. First, I have a few scriptures I will be referring to, and if you feel led, you can follow along with me in your Bibles, or you can just write them down and revisit this at a later time. But we know it has been so much happening in 2011, some good, some not so good. And what I want to do is recap on some of the events, even in our own personal lives. I know some of us may have lost some loved ones this past year, or we may have associations of someone who have lost loved ones, or maybe acquaintances of someone who has lost people dear to them, or just friends or acquaintances. What am I saying? People are still dying. People are leaving here. Now that the Christmas rush is over, and that's another pagan holiday that we don't like to really bring a lot of light to, because we found out that in our study that after you do all your spending and you buy all the stuff you want, and we try to, you know, say it's about Jesus, but we'll put him on the back shelf somewhere, and then after we spent and exhausted all our money, then maybe we can find him. I'll say, oh, Lord, yeah, it was your birthday, but did I really acknowledge you? Or was I consumed with my own greed and my own lust? I got to go out and get the $200 pair of shoes. And I'm not bringing nobody under condemnation, but I want you to think. Because a lot of times we fall as Christians and people who are just naive, we fall into a lot of propaganda, and we think we're doing it for God, but we have to really search our hearts. And that's why we're bringing this out today. Even with the New Year's Eve services, some of us, we will pack the churches out tomorrow night. But what will you do the rest of that year? Is it just a religious experience, or will it be a relationship experience? So after we present these scriptures and all the different things we want to bring out, I want you to search your own heart, because I do it. I have to search myself. You need to search yourself and to see if am I serving God because of religious, or like a religious duty, or am I serving him because of a relationship? Because, see, I'm going to tell you, if it's a relationship, it's not going to just end after December 31st. And then January 1st, you go back to your old ways. If it's really a relationship, it's going to be 365 days of the year, 24/7. You don't just put God on a shelf and pull him off when you feel it's convenient or when you want a, quote, blessing. Because he will be with you forever when it's a relationship. Okay, I want to come out of 2 Timothy 3:1. And this is, for those of you that are familiar with Timothy, you know, Paul. This was Paul speaking to Timothy, but Timothy wrote this, and he was saying, 2 Timothy 3:1-5, it says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness. We spoke on that a few weeks ago about covetousness. Boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinence, fears, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Now, like I said, they have a form of godliness. They look holy. They act holy. But they don't really worship him with their heart. They're just going, they're play actors. And I hate to say it, but the church have a lot of play actors. We should get an Academy Award the way we can act. We can act one way in church, and then when we get out of church, we act another way. Like I said, it should be a 365-day a year lifestyle. It's not something you just pick up and put on. This should be your lifestyle, to live a life pleasing to God. And when I went to the Strong Concordance, it says last out of the Strong, this 2078, final place of time, in, last, occasion, set or proper time, convenient, mean due season, and this is where we are. We are in the seasons of time. Just like you could in the natural, you can see the seasons when they change. You can see when it's summer. You can see the spring when the trees are budding. You know it's spring. You know spring is getting ready to come. When the summer, you see the flowers bloom and all the beautiful roses and bouquets. In the fall, you see the leaves falling from the trees. And in the winter, it's dead. It's snow covered the ground. For a form of purification, because if we don't have winter, we know that it won't kill off a lot of the gnats and bugs and things like that. So winter is a form of purification in itself. But in the natural, when you see these things, you know these seasons are upon us. This is the same way it is in the Bible. When we see certain events coming, we know that we're in the season for Christ's return. Okay, and then when I looked over here in 2 Timothy 4:1-4, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. This is what he admonished for the preachers and the prophets and the teachers to do. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And today, the pastor and the teachers, we have a great mandate because we have to preach, because according to the seasons, we need to let the people know, hey, we're in this particular season. Get your house in order. Are you ready? Do you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior so you can be ready to for him to receive you when he returns? That's why he said we have to preach, be instant in season and out of season. I gave to you about the season. Our job is a 24-hour thing. We should not ever neglect to preach the gospel. And that is the call that God has called us to do. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And when I talk about doctrine, I'm not talking about denomination. I'm talking about the doctrine, the word of God. That is what I'm referring to. I am not concerned with your religious affiliation. Let's get this religious out of the way. I'm not concerned if you're a Baptist, if you're a Methodist, Pentecost. I'm not concerned with that. I'm concerned with, do you have a relationship? Because a denomination is not going to get you anywhere, but a relationship will. So let's dispel all this denomination. When I say doctrine, I'm talking about the word of God. That's the doctrine. Okay, and then over in 2 Peter 3:1, he says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. He says that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. For by the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved until fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness? So this is in 2 Peter, but I know you don't hear this a lot. I know it's not a popular teaching today in today's church. I know everybody, you know, like I said earlier, in the last days they're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. This is not a popular teaching. People don't want to hear this kind of stuff. They just want a feel-good message. Make me feel good. It's about me, myself, and I. I don't care if the whole world go to hell, just so I get my dollar or just so I get my house. But, saints, there are people perishing every day. And we talk about fear. This is not the type of fear that I want you to go and hide your head under a rock. But it's the type of fear that I want you to realize that I am nothing without God. If I should die tonight, where would my soul be? Will I be in heaven or will I be in hell? I don't care if you don't like it. I don't care if it's not popular. But I'm doing what the mandate Timothy told us, to be instant in season. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Like my mom always said, if the shoe fit, wear it. If this is knocking on your door and you're feeling conviction, it's not because of me, it's the Holy Spirit. Open your heart. Say, Lord, I repent. Okay, in Jude 1:16-17, he says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of their advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see throughout the Bible they are giving you warnings that when you're walking into all this, all these things that is abomination to God, they're teachers that's not teaching the truth, they're leading people astray. He said, time, actually, it means to run away from them. But a lot of times, because we have blinders on and we don't understand, we'll sit right up under there and we are taking a gamble with our soul. That's why it's important to read the Word of God. And what Kingdom of God Ministries, what we do, we try to bring you the unadulterated word. No, it's not popular. We may not get a lot of hits on the internet, but we will tell you the truth. And I will tell you with, from the bottom of my heart, what thus says the Lord. Okay, I wanted to recap now. Oh, and also I wanted to let you know that if you need to call in, we reserve a few minutes after the pastor come and bring the message. We'll reserve some minutes open for you to call in with prayer requests, whatever you need, if you want salvation. We're here for you. We do not mind praying with you. We have time. So if you feel the presence of the Lord on you and you need to repent and you want to make it right with God, because truthfully, we don't know what 2012 will bring. And this is not a scare tactic. This is just reality. So I want to recap over some of the events, and I tell you, I pulled up some of this stuff that happened in 2012, and I had to just stop. 2011. I had to stop because there's so much stuff going on. I said, Lord, if people can't see that you are soon to return, either they got blinders on their eyes or they just don't want to see it. Remember what I read about the scoffers. Where is his return? We've been told this since our forefathers. They did that same thing with Noah when the flood came. He built that flood, that ark, for 120 years, and they laughed and they mocked him. Same thing they're doing today. Laugh, they mock you. They say you're a fool, you're ignorant, you don't know what you're talking about. But there will come a day, and you will give an account for every idle word. Okay, we were saying, it says, we have so many catastrophic events. I'm just going to touch on a few of them, and this will just reflect your mind back. And it only seemed it was less than a year ago. Now we coming to the climax of this year, so we just have to pray. But anyway, over Turkey had a major earthquake, and then you know that great earthquake that was in March 11, 2011, killed tens of thousands of people with the tsunami. That was the fourth largest earthquake on record. Actually, it measured a 9.0, okay? And they were even saying that some of the earth axis was shifted because of that earthquake, which created that great tsunami. Okay, then we had Turkey had an earthquake. Actually, they had that caught on video. 8 dead as torrential rains ravaged Italy. America hero, he was denied aid for helping tornado victims. Massive blaze, 4 dead, dozens homeless. A suicide epidemic hit bankrupt farmers in India. Devastated by one of the worst droughts in decades, farming does not get much tougher than in India, where thousands left with poor harvests and big debts have been driven to their own lives. Some of them was even taking their lives. Following the East Coast earthquake and the appearance of Hurricane Irene, the United States is being subject to yet more catastrophic conditions as storms continue to encroach across the country. Then we had stunning images of lava rivers as Hawaii volcano erupts. Fresh lava rivers are flowing down the southern slopes of Hawaii, most active volcano after a new eruption was registered on Wednesday. This was this year that passed. Australia had flooding following a long drought. Heavy rains in December 2010 and January 2011 caused devastating floods in the state of Queensland, destroying crops and killing 35. Brazil had landslides. Areas surrounding Rio de Janeiro, landslides triggered by rainfall killed 850 in January. Deforestation may have made soil in the region more prone to erosion. Then we had New Zealand, another earthquake. With an epicenter 6 miles from downtown, the Christchurch quake in February took 181 lives and caused $12 billion in damages, despite having a magnitude of just 6.3. Then we had the central U.S. tornadoes. April set a new record with 748 twisters in a single month. The season's tornadoes killed 548 and did more than $24 billion worth of damage. East Africa drought, a continuing drought that the United Nations described as the worst in 60 years, has left 10 million hungry. East Coast Hurricane Irene charged up the U.S. coast in August, leaving 44 dead, 7 million without power, and thousands of roads impassable for days. Estimated damage, $7 billion. China drought. The Southwest is suffering under a long dry spell that threatens the clean water supply for 14 million people. And these are just some things that's hitting home. Police, those were like natural disasters, but these are disasters when people are murdering each other. And this was just here in Georgia. Police believe Georgia girl killed in vacant apartment. You see, when I'm 7 years old, she was only seven, brutally beat, brutally murdered. And then people is wondering what is causing people to act like this. Seven killed in apparent murder-suicide on Christmas. Come on now. Police say the gunman in the murder-suicide that left seven dead was wearing a Santa suit. Here's another one. Woman burned in elevator in methodical fashion. Another one. Police shoot and kill mother for stabbing her child. And these are just some of the things. North Korean leader Kim Jong-il dies of a heart attack. Economic Armageddon or the next bull market. Leading economists are predicting the collapse of world markets due to popping of variable interconnected bubbles in the economy that have occurred in recent years and are about to occur in the immediate future. You see, these are things that's going on, and like I said, I couldn't even bring you everything that was going on. This is just a sample of what happened in 2011. And so this was a survey, one of our members sent this. It says, for many, losing my religion isn't just a song. He said, the attitude, this is the attitude, more Americans tailoring religion to fit their needs. What did I just say? It ain't even about God anymore. It's about if it's convenient for me or if it's not fashionable to serve God, then it's got to tailor to what I want and how I perceive him. He said the real dirty little secret of religiosity in America is that there are so many people from whom spiritual interest thinking about ultimate questions is minimal. And this is what a professor said of one of those colleges. He said, as Christmas Day glides by, all guilt, no substance for many, he said, clergy are becoming concerned because the people's heart is not there. I mean, we're preaching, we sounding the alarm, we're telling people about Christ's return, and they have this attitude like, so what? He said, these are some statistics. 44% told in this survey said they spend no time seeking eternal wisdom, and 19% said it is useless to search for meaning. Now, you see how the heart is just turning cold. 46% said they never wonder whether they will go to heaven. 28%, this is 28%, it's not a major priority in my life to find deeper purpose. And 18% scoffed. Remember what I said in the last day, scoffers? 18% scoffed that God has a purpose or a plan for everyone. Now, some of you may be listening. You may be scoffing right now. You know, you may say, I don't believe none of that. But that's okay, because if it's in the Bible, then it's true. And I have some prophecies that has been already predicted that has come to pass. So you can see by these statistics, 6.3% of Americans turned up on Pew Forum. They said they are unconnected to God or a higher power or any religious identity and willing to say religion is not important in their lives. Where are we going? What is happening to America? But then you have things, they don't want God, but you have demonic attacks. You have children, parents killing their children. It was so much, one parent threw his child off the bridge. I mean, but you got all this demonic activity, but you have people saying they don't want God. They don't need God. In other words, you know, God ain't, he's the secondary in my life. It says a decade later, 80% of all clients, the only faith they pledge is in each other. No higher authority is consulted as they vow to walk beside each other, offering courage, hope through their own endeavors. This is when you know this marriage. They want a God-free marriage ceremony where they don't want no part of God. You can see that. This is where America is headed to. A godless nation, because nobody wants to acknowledge the presence of God or acknowledge that you need God. They saying, we okay the way we are. Who needs God? I got my job. I got my career. I'm making a six-figure income. I don't need God. So you say. He said, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. And some of you don't even make a six-figure income, but you're so comfortable in your lifestyle that you don't want it to be challenged with the word of God. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Here's what I want to bring out. Signs that we are in the end times. Prophetic signs that we are in the end times. The Bible gives many examples of signs that should warn us of the coming end of the age. Six such signs are given by Jesus. Now listen to this. Two characteristics are given by Paul, and 11 other occurrences are given by prophets to occur prior to the soon after the end of the age. While we are also told we will not know the time of the end, God obviously wanted us to know when that time was getting closer. Now, I want you to discard a lot of this mess that came on this year. You know how they predicted, well, the end of the world was coming. I think he said in April, then he changed it to October. I ain't talking about that. That's foolishness. But God do give us signs to follow, seasons to see that we are coming close. This is a countdown, and we are getting closer to the end. As the Christian church is increasingly drawn into the interfaith movement, and as more and more churches go into isolations preparing to sleep through the growing attacks on their faith, perhaps God knew it would take a few signs to wake us up and remind us that we have work to do. We don't have time to sleep. We have a harvest out there. We have to get people into the kingdom because time is winding up. Now, here are some prophecies, six signs given by Jesus to indicate his coming and the end of the age. And this is over in Matthew 24:3. It says, Jesus asked, tell us, when will these things be? And what will the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus told his apostles to look for the following signs prior to his coming and the end of the age. One first sign, false prophets in Christ. I just told you about the man telling you that the end of the world was coming. Didn't fulfill, so he changed his life. We have many false prophets, many false Christs. That's why you have to get in your word and know, don't be driven by every wind and doctrine. He said, for many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and will mislead many. And many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. In the last several years, many have claimed to be the Messiah. And you remember Jim Jones and David Koresh. These are just some examples of false Christ, as well as countless others who are not even newsworthy. These false prophets are a prelude to the ultimate false Christ, the Antichrist. Many New Age groups, some even working for the United Nations, are anxiously awaiting the Antichrist, preparing the way for his acceptance as head of the hierarchy of gods and the one who will usher in world peace. Then we have wars. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for these things must take place, but that is not the end. Rumors of wars in all areas of the world now occur frequently. Think about it. I think America at one time, we was in three wars. Thanks to instant media coverage, see, we had the ability of a multitude of 24-hour news. For nation will rise against nation, you see that now, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines. Did I just not tell you about the famines? He said there will be famines and earthquakes. Didn't I just bring that out to you? More people have been killed in warfare in this century than in any other time in history. As the death toll rises in the Middle East, more and more countries work feverishly to develop devastating weapons of mass destruction. Look like they just obsessed with mass destruction, weapons of mass destruction. Then I brought to you about the famines. I just elaborated on that. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. See what I'm saying? In 2011, famines, earthquakes, then earthquakes, for nation will rise against nation and then kingdom against kingdom. He said the number and intensity of earthquakes in this century is at a level higher than any other time in history. A 9.0? Come on. I think the Richter scale just go up to a 10. A staggering number of seismic events occur around the world daily. The Earthquake Seismic Monitor shows all major earthquakes for the last year, indicated by yellow and red circles. The seismic events of the last 15 days provide strong evidence of the fulfillment of Matthew 24:7. Then he said, tribulations. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation. So we haven't got there, but some people, some Christians are under attack throughout the world today. In the United States, Christians still enjoy freedom to worship God without suffering, much more than ridicule, hatred, or discrimination at work and school. However, in many other countries, such as China, Sudan, Africa, Saudi Arabia, Korea, Russia, and many Muslim nations, Christians suffer much greater persecution and oftentimes death for their faith. During the tribulation, this suffering will be worldwide and will continue even to the point of martyrdom. The first five signs will increase in intensity and severity as the tribulation approaches. Then he says the gospel will be preached throughout the world. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. This prophecy has been fulfilled because we have television, we have radio, we have missionaries. They translate the Bible into many languages. We have the internet. People all over the world now can hear the message of Christ. So nobody have an excuse. You can cut on 24/7 and hear something about Jesus. You can stream it just like what we're doing. I would never have dreamed we could sit here in our particular place and this can reach throughout the world. Internet, high technology. Then he said another sign you will see godlessness in the last days. Well, we see that now. I just read that over in 2 Timothy. If you cut on the TV, you look in the newspaper, you could see the godlessness just taking people over. They seem to have no regard for human life. They don't care. Anytime you got mothers and fathers killing their own children, you see the love of many has waxed cold. Then we have apostasy, false teachers, people falling from the faith. He says churches today are becoming more and more ecumenical, embracing the New Age interfaith agenda and denying Christ as the only way to salvation. I know you hear that. There's many paths that lead to Christ. Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. He said, given in to politically correct media and corrupt society, they have embraced homosexuality as an acceptable alternate lifestyle and preach tolerance and compromise in the place of God's truth for salvation of the world. I told you this is not a popular message. If you're going to compromise the word of God, maybe you need to just step down. Because here at Kingdom of God, we don't compromise. We just tell you straight the word of God. And I give you scripture so you can go to the scripture, and you can find it yourself. Don't take my word for it. Always go to the scripture. And then there's other prophetic signs, but I don't have time to get into all of them. But he said there will be increased knowledge and travel. Knowledge and travel. I just told you about the internet. But as you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time, many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. 90% of all engineers and scientists who have ever lived are alive today. Air travel, space travel, DNA research, human cloning are all examples of rapid increase in knowledge in our generation. You see? So we are in the last days. Now, I have a three-minute clip I want to play to you, and I hope you enjoy this segment of the broadcast. After this three-minute clip, the next voice you will hear will be Pastor Montgomery. And again, I will give you the guest call-in number. If you want to call in, if you need prayer, feel free to call in the number 323-375-0849. Again, it's 323-375-0849.
Faith will arise in the Word of God. People say to me, how do you know the Bible's God's Word? Just like any other book, full of mistakes. I say, come on, I can prove to you this is a supernatural book simply by preaching out of the prophets. And I challenge skeptics to read Matthew 24, Luke 21, or 2 Timothy chapter 3, to read the prophets and see the signs of the times and see how the words of Jesus parallel history before it came into being. And I say, these are the signs of the end of the age, not the end of the world, not doomsday, as the world thinks, but the end of the age. This is what we're to look for, according to Scripture. There will be an increase in wars, an increase in diseases, an increase in earthquakes in different places. There will be an increase in violence. There will be famines, immorality or lawlessness, violating of the Ten Commandments, rebellious youth, become prevalent. There will be a homosexual increase. Men with vile affections, without natural affection. There will be hypocrisy. Men will have a form of godliness. Vegetarianism will increase. Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it receive with thanksgiving. But the Bible tells us, in the last days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of demons, commanding to abstain from meats, which God has given to be received with thanksgiving. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. Long live McDonald's. There'll be a marriage breakdown. Marriage will break down, the institution of marriage. Money-grubbing preachers, according to 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, one of the Peters. Signs in the sun. Heart failure through stress. Men's hearts will fail them for fear of what's coming on the earth. There will be an increase in knowledge and an increase in travel. Write down 100% biblically accurate. And then the Bible says, it even predicts how people will react to that. They'll say, ah, these signs have always been around. And the Bible even tells you the motive of the people that are skeptics. In the last days shall come scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Why do they scoff? Because they're burning with unlawful pleasure, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For all things have been the same since the beginning. And then the scripture says, be not deceived with this one thing. A day to the Lord is as 1,000 years to us. God doesn't dwell with time. In time, God says, wait a couple of minutes. That could be 30 or 40 years. God doesn't dwell in the dimension of time. Day of the Lord is 1,000 years. God is not slack concerning his promise, but he's patiently waiting, not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. And the thing to look for, Jesus gave it. He said, Jerusalem will be trodden of the Gentiles. Jerusalem was in Gentile hands until 1967. And the Jews retained Jerusalem 1967, bringing into culmination all the signs of the end of the age. Faith will arise in the Word of God. People say to me,
praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have a wonderful message for you tonight. Of course, you have heard Sister Montgomery go forth in reference to our subject. Are we living in the end times or in the last days? And some people may say no. Some people may say yes. But the thing of it is that we're living in some perilous, dangerous times. But the scripture tells us we're at the beginning of it. So all the things that we have seen up to this point is just a prelude to what is getting ready to happen. Now, I'm going to read to you some things that our Lord and Savior was saying in reference to the signs of the times. The signs of the times that we're living in. The apostles asked him a question of when shall these things be? And Jesus just come out and told them directly on what was happening, what happened then, what's happening right now as we live and speak, and what's going to happen in the future in reference to him coming back, in reference to him bringing the kingdom into our existence. Now, Sister Montgomery came to you through chapter 24, mostly 3 through 14, and brought that out wonderfully. I'm going to go a little further than that. I'm going to talk to you in reference to what Jesus was talking about and what Daniel was bringing about in reference to the abomination and desolation, the great tribulation, and then we're talking about the coming of the Son of Man. Now, some people don't want to, you know, they think the Bible is a storybook. They think the Bible is just something that a bunch of men sat up and just thought up from the top of their heads. But it's very difficult for a man to predict the future. Most men and women, they can't predict the next 15 or 20 minutes. And if you don't believe me, as many people who would think that they would go to work one day, and instead of going to work, they go to the cemetery. Now, I'm not trying to be hard or anything, but that's about the extent of our future, of our forecasting the future. So when you think about it like that, how is any man going to take and think and write a book? Write a book hundreds of years in the past that's going to predict what happens thousands of years in the future, and it comes to pass. No man can do that. And then you have several men, over 40 or 50 different men, writing the Bible from all over the world and putting it together, and it flows continually. And it speaks the truth. And people can read the Bible and have changes in their lives. So that lets you know that the Bible is the true word of God. It is the true, living, unadulterated word of God. So let's get into the word. We're coming out of Matthew 24 and 15. And so when you therefore, now this is Jesus speaking, and it says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Now Daniel the prophet, he spoke these things hundreds of years ago, and it's coming to that now. Now, you say, Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, this speaks of the Antichrist invading Israel and taking over the temple. Now, I say, whoso reads, let him understand. Now, when you read the word of God, Daniel 8, 9 through 14, 9, 27, 11, 45, 12 and 1, 7 and 11, that's going to bring out this what Jesus was talking about. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. When the Antichrist invades Israel at the midpoint of the great tribulation. See, this is future tense, but it's all in reference to the end times. So there's a lot of things that's going to happen before our Lord and Savior comes back, before the kingdom of God is established on the earth, the literal kingdom of God is established on the earth. There are many things that's got to happen, and Jesus was telling his apostles, his disciples, exactly what was going on, exactly what was going to happen. So he was prophesying to them. He said, then let him which is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Now, the thing about it, in that part of the world, the roofs of the homes were flat. And many times in the summertime, people would often sleep on top of the house. And what they were talking about is the necessity of, hey, don't go back in the house. When these things start happening, don't go back in the house. You just run. You flee. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them who give suck in those days. Now, what Jesus was saying was really, in that time, see, most of this is going to be centered in the Middle East. As you see now, a lot of things is happening in the Middle East. You have problems happening in Egypt. You got problems happening with the Palestinians. You have problems going on with Israel. You got Syria acting up. You got Iran acting up. You got that whole Middle Eastern area just look like it's blowing up. Well, that's where it's going to be centered in the end times, and that's what you see going on right now. So we're seeing that, so that's a sign of the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a sign of a great change of a spiritual nature toward the kingdom of God and the Lord coming back. Now, I said, woe to those who are with child and unto them who give suck in those days, in reference to the condition of Israel at the time of the Antichrist. Because it's going to be hard for people that have that pregnant women, because it's going to be bad because of how Israel is set up. And if they have to run on the Sabbath, there's going to be some problems and trouble, because Israel literally shuts down on the Sabbath, with this Saturday, and they don't permit people to move around or travel. Now, that is the abomination of desolation, and that is a sign of the end time. Now, that hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. Why do I say it's going to happen? Because everything else that Jesus said Many of those things have happened. You see, Sister Montgomery brought up all the things that just transpired just in 2011. Now, that's just 1 year, 2011. Just that 1 year, all these things happened just in 1 year. Now, we're not talking about 2010, 2009, 2010, 2008. We're not even talking about those years. But it was a whole lot of things that was happening then, right in reference to what we have just read, in reference to the end times. Are these the last days? Look at the word. Look out. Look around you. Consider what's happening. Even consider what's happening in your own life. Consider yesterday. Consider today at the things that are going on. The atrocities that's happening in the world, the evil that's going on in the world. Some of these things, some of this stuff that's happening, how can men and women do the things that they do? It's crazy. It's unbelievable, but you see it every day. Now, our Lord and Savior Jesus was telling us that there's going to be great tribulation. It says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, this is going to be in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. So that hasn't happened yet. But Jesus was saying that it's going to be worse. It's going to be the worst the world has ever known, and it will be so bad that it will never be repeated. So people, you know, consider what the Lord is saying. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. So we, all of us, need to consider our relationship and our standing with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, to be truthful about it, it really doesn't matter what you believe. If you don't believe in God, you believe the word of God is a bunch of fairy tales that's made up by people, you can look around and disregard all this is happening. But I'm telling you, one day you're going to close your eyes for the last time. Then what's going to happen? The Bible tells us what's going to happen. But right now, you can prepare yourself. Have a true relationship with Christ. Repent. Ask him to forgive you, and he'll do it. Repent. Turn from your wicked way, and he will forgive you. And you won't have to go through all that. The Lord is telling you what's going on. He's telling you to prepare. So, if you don't do it, it's your fault. The Lord, I'll say this, the Lord doesn't throw anybody in hell, and he really doesn't take you to heaven. You do it yourself. You make the choice. You put yourself in heaven or hell with what you do right now, what you do with God's word. Ask yourself the question, are we living? Are we living in the last days? Are these the end times? Look around you. Think about this thing. Now, the Lord Jesus tells us, in reference to this tribulation, this great period of tribulation, it's going to be the last 7 years, 3.5 years. And say, except those days should be short. Remember, we're talking about the Middle East now. Of course, it's going to filter out all over the world, but the center is going to be in the Middle East. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, this is in reference to Israel. And it's going to come to a point, where it's going to be so bad that the small nation of Israel is going to almost come to a point of extinction. Mm-hmm. But say, for sake those days shall be shortened, is going to be shunned because Jesus is coming back. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. In other words, there's going to be a great, and the deception has started now. But it's going to be even a greater deception. The deception is going to be so great that even people that know God, know Christ, have a relationship with Jesus Christ, could be deceived. He says, for there shall also arise false Christs, false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, what this is in reference to is the Antichrist is going to be imitating Jesus. His false prophets is going to be imitating the prophets of old. And they will perform great wonders, great signs by the devil. Why? To deceive Israel and anybody who believes. Now, Jesus said, behold, I have told you before. This, in other words, he emphasized the seriousness of this matter, the seriousness of what he's speaking. And then Jesus said, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. In other words, they're going to be saying, hey, look, Jesus is over here. Jesus is over there. Jesus is over here. Jesus is over there. They say, don't believe that because he's not there. It says the next verse I'm getting ready to read, it tells the manner of his coming, which will eclipse all pretenders. Now, the coming of the Son of Man is going to be like this. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shining even unto the west, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. Think about this. In other words, it's going to be the most cataclysmic event in the world has ever known. So nobody's going to have to ask, is this really Christ? It will be overly obvious. He's not going to come in some dark corner. He's going to come in and everybody is going to see him. Everybody is going to know that this is Jesus Christ. That's going to put all those false prophets and false Christ is going to put them to shame and shed a light on them where they will be exposed totally. And Jesus said, for whatsoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now, this is in reference to that great battle of Armageddon. And what that is referring to is there's going to be a great gathering of vultures that's going to devour the people who would fight against Jesus Christ when he's come back, going to be destroyed. And the vultures are going to eat the flesh. And say, immediately after tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Look at this here. All these things is going to happen, and signs when the Son of God comes back. That said, immediately after the tribulation. That speaks of the time immediately preceding the second coming. It said the sun and the moon will not give a light. The light of these orbs or these stars, they'll be dim in comparison to the light of the Son of God. He's going to come with so much glory and so much power and so much anointing that the natural stars of heaven, the sun and the moon, is going to be dim in comparison to the Son of God. It's saying the stars shall fall from heaven. It's going to be fireworks in heaven that you can't even describe when the Lord come back. It's saying the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, what's going on here? That will work with the Son of God against the Antichrist in the second coming. So when the Lord comes back, he's going to destroy everything that the Antichrist set up. He's going to destroy the Antichrist, the false prophet, all of that.
is going to be destroyed when he comes back. It says, and then shall appear the sign, it said, the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Think about that. Now, this is in reference to this in reference and pertains to the second coming, which will take place in the midst of the earth and heaven, heaven-shaking events. And so this is going to concern all the nations of the world, which possibly will see this phenomenon by television. Every eye will see this. This is denoting Christ and his human glorified body. And it lends credence to the thought that much of the world will see him by television as he makes his descent. Think about that. Think about that. Now, the Lord Jesus was telling his disciples, giving them the answer to the question that they asked, when will these things be, Lord? They asked him because they thought it was much sooner than later. They thought it was going to happen in their lifetime, but it didn't. But the Lord told them the events of the time that it will happen. And it's in the future, and it is not that far away, according to the things that we're seeing in the world now. It's not that far away. We are living in the last days. We are seeing some of the signs of the time. We haven't seen them all yet, but we're seeing some of them now. And the things that we're seeing is a prelude to things, to greater things that's going to happen, because the Lord Jesus said it's going to happen. The Lord Jesus also said, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, he said he shall send his angels, and you'll see them. Those angels will be visible. He said, with a great sound of a trumpet. In other words, they're going to announce the gathering of Israel. Everybody's going to hear that. He said, they shall gather together his elect, which is, will be Israel, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, what he was saying is Jews will be gathered from all over the world and brought to Israel. That is future tense. As I said previously, the culmination of the coming of the Son of God, the culmination of the kingdom of God being made manifest, the signs of the end time, as you see now, is centering over in the Middle East. That's the reason why you have such calamity over there. Of course, we know they have been fighting over there for ever since they've been over there, they've been fighting, basically. Ever since those nations of the Middle East have been in existence, they've been fighting each other. They've been fighting Israel. They've been fighting each other. And it's just been somewhat chaotic over there for a long time. But it's culminating over there. That is the reason why you are seeing what you're seeing over in those countries, because these are the signs of the times that the Lord is coming back. He's coming back. He's on his way back. So what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? This is what we do. We consider ourselves. We consider our lives. We consider where we stand in the Lord. Do we have a relationship with Christ? Do we even believe in Jesus Christ? Do we look at him as our Savior? Do we look at him as the Son of the living God? Do we look at him as our deliverer? Do we look at him as our healer? Do we look at him as our provider? Do we look at him as our all in all, or do we just look at him as just a man or just a prophet or just somebody that somebody just made up? Just a fairy tale. Because if we look at the Lord Jesus as a fairy tale, then we will be lost. Then the very thing that Jesus just prophesied will overtake us. Why? Because we're not taking heed to the warning of the signs of the time, of the last days that's going on now. We're living in the last days, brothers and sisters. We're living in the last days, people. What is it going to take for people to wake up? Is it going to take a nuclear blast? Is it going to take horrible weather conditions? Are we going to have to see demonic entities? What's it going to take? What's it going to take? What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Do you want to have a near-death experience? Do you have to die and come back to life or something? Is that what you're waiting on? Or do you want to just wait till the very last moment of your life to accept Christ? You want to do all you want to do in this world? You want to just shake your foot? You just want to just shake yourself? You just want to do everything you want to do till the last minute? Then you say, maybe I'll come in then. But the thing about that is, what you have to remember is, what's going to be your state of mind at the end of your life? What, will you have your right mind? We don't know. Will you get to be old? We don't know. Because there's many people that's leaving here that's young. Think about that. We're living in the end times, the signs of the times. But your end time could be tomorrow. Your sign could be you're listening to us tonight. What are you going to do with that? How are you going to process that in your mind? Some people don't even believe they have a soul. They think that they're just walking and talking, that when they die, that's just it. Well, we do have a soul because we're made in the image of God. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Body, soul, and spirit. That's how we are. And it is not God's will that any man perish, but it is his will that every man accept Christ. That is his will. It's God's will that every man be saved. It's God's will that every man make it into the kingdom of God. That's God's will. If it wasn't, then Jesus Christ would never have even come on the scene. He wouldn't have had to, because we would have been just lost. So you see, brothers and sisters, we are living in some dangerous times. We're living in perilous times. We're living in times that is unimaginable. Times where it has never happened like this. Calamities has never happened like this. The weather has never been the way it has been, and it's going to get worse. People are doing things that is people. When I was coming up, you never would have even dreamed of it. It wouldn't have even come to your mind. But they're doing horrible things, and they're doing these horrible things because they have absolutely no respect or any thought process at all toward God or Christ. They almost consider themselves as just rogue beast animals. And that's the way a lot of them are thinking and acting. See, there's no in-between, brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no in-between, people. You're either with God or you're with the devil. That's just it. I'm sorry, but that's how it is. There's no in-betweens. Now, you can live a good, decent moral life. I applaud that. That's a good thing. But in reference to your relationship with Christ Jesus, if you don't accept Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then all that good morality, all that upright living will not get you into the kingdom of God. Because a man's righteousness, human righteousness, is as a filthy rag to God. We have absolutely no righteousness in ourselves apart from the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so for us to escape what's coming up on the earth and to be ready when the Son of God, the Son of Man, comes back, we have to accept him as Savior. It's bottom line. I'm sorry. It's bottom line. He's not going to ask you about your, he's not concerned about your religious affiliation. He's not concerned about your denomination. He's really not so much concerned about the good that you do. Oh, he knows it. He sees it. But the bottom line is, I have to keep repeating it, your relationship with him. Your relationship with him. And who is the him? Jesus Christ. He is the only way you will make it into the kingdom of God. He is the only way that you can make true peace with the Lord. He's it. Now, somebody might say, well, there's many ways to God. Well, did a whole lot of men die for you? Did Buddha die on the cross for you? Did Muhammad die on the cross for you? Did any man from any of these other religions, Hare Krishna, did he die on the cross for you? No, they're dead. Our Lord and Savior died on the cross, was buried and resurrected, and is sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us right now. Right now. He's praying for us. And he loves us so much that he told us how to prepare. And that's what we were talking about. He told us how to prepare. He told us what to look for in the end times so that we can prepare ourselves and get ourselves in right standing with him so that we won't be lost. Now, you might say to yourself, oh, I got plenty of time. I'm young. I'll wait till I get old. Well, you don't know if you're going to get old. And some old folks are saying, well, I'll wait until I get on my deathbed, and then when I get on my deathbed, then I'll repent. Well, you might get on your deathbed and die before you repent. Or you might lose your mind on your deathbed, and you're not able to repent. Then what? Then you're going to go into eternity without the Lord. And if you go into eternity without the Lord, you have placed yourself in a terrible place because you rejected the Lord. This is what this is about. God loves us so much. Listen to me, people. God loves us so much that he sent his Son. And his Son loved us so much that he died on the cross for our sins. He didn't sin, we sinned. We messed up. But he made a way for us to get back in right standing with God. Then before he left, he gave us all the warning and all the signs of when he's coming back so that we can get ready and be ready. so we can repent, get our lives in order. We don't have to die lost. We don't have to live miserable. We can accept the Lord and go on and be with Him. It's a wonderful thing. I would say this. There's no boredom in Christ. You can enjoy life in Christ, because that's what He said. He said, I give you life, and I give you life more abundantly. It's a wonderful life. It's a good life. It's a life to be desired to be in Christ. Yes, we all have trouble. We all have some tribulation. Yeah, brothers and sisters, saints, they stub their toe from time to time. They might hit their finger with a hammer. That's life. But the bottom line is, you know that you have security in Christ Jesus. You know that when you close your eyes for the last time, you're going to be with the Lord. You're going to be in the kingdom of God. You're going to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you're not really dying. Because death, in reference to what God is talking about, is total separation from Him. That's death. But you don't have to die and be lost. Yes, we're in the end times, but the end times don't have to have a negative effect on you. You can read the Word of God, see where you are, shake yourself, get in your right mind, accept the Lord, and He will make a way for you in whatever time we're in. He will provide for you regardless of the times that we're in. Remember, God is all powerful. The enemy is not all powerful. The devil is not all powerful. God is all powerful. The devil don't know everything. God knows everything. The devil and his demons are not everywhere, but God is everywhere. So guess who's winning? God is winning, and His people are winning, regardless of what it looks like. We win. We win. And as long as we hold on to God's unchanging hand, we will continue to win. Praise the Lord. Now, we have about 8 minutes left on the show. If there's anybody who wants to call in, our guest call-in number is 323-375-0849. That's 323-375-0849. And if you call in now, we'll be more than happy to. We'll pray with you. We can talk over some things. If you have some questions, we'll be more than happy to answer your questions to the best of our ability. And we can go on from there. Now, I'd like to say that God is wonderful. He is. A lot of people say, well, if God is so good, why is all this junk going on in the world? Why are all these murderers? Why is all this and why that and why this and why that? But a lot of times, people of the Most High God, people, a lot of the stuff and a lot of the evil that's going on in the world, God really doesn't have anything to do with that. The reason we have so much evil in the world is because of the decisions and because of the choices that men make. And because we have a real enemy in the world, the devil, whether you believe it or not, there's a devil. There are demons. And they influence mankind, and they have been influencing mankind from the beginning of time because many men refuse to follow God. And men make horrible choices. As a result of the horrible choices that men make, you see horror in the world. So we don't have to blame God for everything. I never have figured out why men want to blame God for what they do. They make a choice to go out there and do something horrible, and then when it happens, then they blame God. That sounds just like the devil. Devil, he does horrible things, and then he blames God for what he does. Yeah, there's a lot of famine in the world, but a lot of that famine is because of man's bad choices and his farming techniques. He erodes the earth. He's not planting the right crop. He's not letting the land rest. He's taking all the minerals out of the soil. And as a result of that, we have famine. Now, sometimes we don't get enough rain, but a lot of time men has messed up our ozone layer so bad with the horrible chemicals and all these bombs they're dropping off and all these other things that they're doing that they're throwing nature out of balance. But the Word tells us about all of this. But anybody who desires to call in, you may at 323-375-0849. That's 323-375-0849. That's our guest call-in number. You can feel free to call in at any time. We have about 4 minutes left on the show, and you may call in. But remember, the Lord Jesus spoke these words as a warning. He spoke these words to let us know that if you look for what he says, you consider the signs of the time. Now, those are to his people. His people and to anybody who would read and consider where we are at this particular time of this age. Brothers and sisters of the Most High God, we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. It's not going to be all bad now. We're going to see some power and anointing in God's church. We're going to see things happen, phenomenal things happen in God's church, among God's people. We have the victory, and we're going to continue to have the victory, and we're winning. So it's not going to be all bad. There's going to be some bad stuff happen, but there's going to be some good stuff happen in the kingdom of God. There's going to be some good things that's going to happen in the churches. There's going to be some good things that's going to happen in the churches. So right now we only have 3 minutes and 27 seconds, 23 seconds left. If there's going to be no calls, we're going to close it off with a song. And then we're going to be ending our broadcast. So here's the song that we're getting ready to play. Enjoy it, and then we're going to end our broadcast.
Gotta die to the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Gotta die to the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Oh, 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 oh. Gotta die, gotta die.
So many times I felt like a failure. So many times I call on the Savior, who picked me up when my head is hanging low to the ground. When there's nobody else around, when I felt like giving up, you helped me put the weight down. On my shoulders, big boulders, they roll right off. On my knees, I seek the Father, help me bear my cross. To Calvary I walked, and now my flesh to the cross. Now that I'm found, I can't never ever be lost. I serve the boss, Jesus Christ anointed, paid the cost. For my sin, who burdens got to leave, keep my head above the sea, fighting till I finish my race. I got my my crown in heaven, no devil sits in my place. My name can't be erased in this book of life. I die to live to be united with Christ. Spirit over the flesh, it's a constant test. Daily being tempted, so I stay in my best. Spiritual, I mean the word like a box of cereal. The anointing, make them demons get straight fearful. Upon me is great, it's Jesus who lives in me. I got the power of the Trinity, I'm walking in the victory. I'm walking in the victory. Power of the Trinity, I'm walking in the victory. I'm walking in the victory.
Gotta doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit. So these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Gotta doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit. So these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Oh, 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 oh. Gotta die, gotta die.
Where the battle is in our minds, is it hard to find? In these end times, brothers is dying, doing senseless crimes, marching with death, blindly to blind. Got they taste of nine, in the street life is hell on earth. Look at the signs, forgot about Christ, now people crying. Living in the flesh, lovers of lust, who can you trust with your life? Don't live for Jesus, who you the Antichrist. It's spiritual, way more real and it's natural. You can't fake it, living this life just like the Matrix. Is it breathtaking, spiritual? Whoa, am I from dope? I can't fake it, if you ready to ride, just let me know. I ain't playing no games, brother Jesus, hold on my veins. Word of pain, serving you is a must. Ain't a shame, through with the game. Stop playing Kane. What did I gain? 380 to my brain. Made a brother want to change. Got a second chance, chosen to my father's name. Preaching to the poor fame, taking a lane. Gotta remain, spread the word to all nations. Keeping my patience, can't be deceived by Satan. No debating, facing special situations. Straight contemplating, gotta keep my head up, cause it's all in the making. Feel your Holy Spirit touch, never left alone. Deep in my bones, fighting to eternity.